Wayne, I thought you were through. It's good to see all of you tonight. We appreciate all of you being here. It is a great and wonderful day. Every time God's people can gather together and praise the Lord, then I don't think you could find it any finer than that. I just think that's always great when we gather together as God's children. And appreciate so many of you, so many were. Bill, and I appreciate your prayer, the great specificity with which you addressed our Father tonight on our behalf. We commend you and appreciate that very, very much. There are so many in this church that do so many things behind the scenes or behind the curtain that people never really know about. So many good and wonderful things that are accomplished and good works that continue to go on by members of this congregation. And certainly our Children's Bible Hour is one of them. I'll have to tell you tonight, however, when I walked in, Greg Gerganus had on a white robe. I think he was playing some kind of angel. That shows you where we're going in this church. But anyway, Greg will do a good job, I'm quite sure. And we appreciate all of those who work. And whatever you do in the church here, certainly it does not go without commendation on the part of all of us. We appreciate you so much. You know, tonight I want to speak to you on the subject that probably is one that affects all of us and one that perhaps we possess so little of and one that often gets us in a lot of trouble because of the lack of it, and that is the subject of patience. How many tonight would really consider yourself to be a patient person? You don't have to raise your hand on that one, because we really know you. you know, Adam, I had to tell you this. There was a couple, talking about patients, there was a couple who were arranging their wedding with me the other day, and they asked the bakery out at Walmart to inscribe on the wedding cake 1 John 4 and verse 18. I don't know if you know what 1 John 4, 18 says, but it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out all fear. But for some reason or another, the bakery either lost or smudged or otherwise misread the noted reference. And they beautifully inscribed on the cake, not 1 John 4, 18, but John 4, 18, that says, for you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. It takes patience sometimes to deal with people. It takes patience to deal with Adam. That's the reason I gave him that sermon before I delivered it here this morning. I thought he needed that. But anyway, we all are so impatient at times, every one of us. And if the truth were known tonight, probably this last week you lost your patience with someone or something. Something happened and you just kind of lost your patience. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about how to acquire it. We all know we need it. You know, Dwight and I were walking in the building tonight, and I told him I was going to preach on patience tonight, and he says, well, you know, as I get older, I'll learn to be more patient. Now, I don't know if Shelley would agree with that or not, but anyway, he told me that, he said, I've learned to be more patient, and I said, well, that's great, and he said, I'm not saying that I've mastered it, and I said, I certainly have not, because we all have difficulty being patient people. But in the book of Romans, chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul talked about those who by patience they continued to serve the living God, and they continued to seek after God's honor, not worldly honors, but God's honor and immortality and eternal life that would eventually be ours. Well, we see the importance of patience woven throughout the Bible. It is a must. It's not a thing of which you would put a question mark over. It is something that we all need. And we also see that there are times in our life when we fail to exhibit it. Maybe it happens most of all, perhaps, when we stop praying about it and praying, God, give us patience. You know, the Bible says it's something we ought to be praying for. God grant unto us patience, and don't act like the woman who said, God, give me patience and give it to me now. but let God give it to us in His own timing. But we ought to pray about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we are to pray without ceasing. We are not to grow weary in well-doing, according to Galatians 6 and verse 9. Paul says, don't grow weary in well-doing, knowing that in due time we will reap if we faint not. That is, if we don't give up. And people are so impatient about things in life, they give up. Someone said, if you're driving in traffic, you're always patient with the person behind you, but not with the person in front of you. And isn't it true? Some even fail to remain faithful unto God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11, the writer says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope, even unto the end. Be patient unto the end. When I think about all the great servants of God in the Bible, there are many of them that exhibited patience. We generally think of Job of old, and the Bible describes him as the great servant of God. By the way, when we look at Job's life, we say that he was a patient man, but God really doesn't identify him as one who was patient necessarily. But when he is conversing with the devil, and by the way, it's one of those most unique times in the Bible when God is carrying on a conversation with Satan himself in the very opening chapter of the book of Job. And God says unto Job, have you considered my servant Job? You know, God looks at us, and He does look at us as His servants. You and I are servants of the Most High. And we are to serve God with patience, and Job did that when everything fell apart in his life. When he lost his family, and when he lost all of his earthly possessions, when he lost his cattle, when the Chaldeans came and destroyed and took away every vestige of hope that he had in this world except God Himself, Job did not quit. He didn't acquiesce, didn't give up. But he remained patient and faithful unto the end. This is the same man who said when he believed that God perhaps had allowed it to happen, he said, though he would slay me, I will still serve him. And the Bible says of Job that he did not charge God foolishly for what God brought about in his life. Sometimes we need to pray not that God would take away the problem, but that God would help us to learn patience through it. We don't always have patience, so we don't always know how to develop it. But I want to share with you a little bit tonight about how we gain it and how we get it, because I think all of us really want to have it. First of all, I would tell you that patience begins with obedience. It does. Do you realize that you and I make a decision to be patient? We make decisions in life every day. We do. Some consequential, some inconsequential. Some decisions that are extremely important, some that are not important. But I can tell you that every one of those decisions carry with them consequences, so to say. We make decisions, and we make a decision as to whether or not we're going to be patient with someone or whether we're going to be impatient. You make a decision whether you're going to be impatient with your mate, with your wife, or with your husband. It is a decision that you make. I hear people say, well, I just lost my patience. Well, you don't need to lose it. You need to hold on to it. The Bible says of the early church in Acts 2 and verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers and in fellowship. You know, in the first century, it would have been very difficult to be a Christian. It would be very difficult because they were going through all kinds of trials. What we go through today, and we talk about a lot of that in this country today, all the problems that we're going through in America, and there are many of them, but they don't even measure up in any way remotely to what the early church went through. When the early church had to face persecution from without, it was a horrible, horrible thing. It was. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And we need to learn patience as well. We need to. And we must be steadfast, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. And this is the way you learn it. This is the way you acquire it, by being obedient unto God. We must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For Paul says in that chapter 15, verse 58, for your work is not in vain in the Lord. Now, obedience has always and is always coupled with a promise. We say Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. But there's another passage found over in the closing verses of the book of Revelation. Actually, it's in the chapter prior to that closing chapter. In chapter 21 and verse 7, these words, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, I know we all lose patience at times, as I said a moment ago. Someone said that patience is the ability to idle your motor when you feel like stripping your gears. Well, it is true. There are times. You know, you can learn patience from a lot of things in life. Someone was telling me the other day that a mule will labor for 10 years willingly and patiently for you for the privilege of kicking you just once. Patience, secondly, continues with edification. You get it by obedience unto God, but then it continues with edification. What does that really mean? You know, in order to be patient, we have to receive that edification from one another. We do that as a body of Christians, don't we, all the time? Whether you're in a Bible class or whether you're hearing the Word of God as a means of edification. And Paul says that we are to seek that we might excel to the edifying of the church, that is, to the building up of the body of Christ. And Hebrews 10 and verse 24, the Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We have to edify one another. How many times have you ever been around people that are impatient and you have to say to them, okay, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right, you know. Just be patient. Everything's okay. You need somebody to kind of settle you down. Now, we all need that at times. When I think about the Apostle Paul, I think about the epitome of patience. Now, I think of Job, but when I think about patience, I think of Paul the Apostle. We've been doing a study here on Sunday morning in the auditorium on the book of Acts. And we've been talking essentially over the last few chapters here in the book of Acts about the Apostle Paul and his life and all that Paul went through, especially on his first, second, and third missionary journey. When the Jews were out to kill him, when they're out to destroy him, and they had done everything imaginable to bring that man's life to an abrupt end upon this earth. But Paul didn't quit. He just kept on serving God. He never gave up. He worked all the way to the end when he finally eventually went to Rome and made his appeal to Caesar. And he said, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished the course. And henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. Listen to Paul in Galatians 2:20. When he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When I think about Paul, though, and I said that patience continues with edification, it wasn't so much that Paul received it as it was that he gave it. Everywhere Paul went, he was offering edification. Listen, when the early Christians felt so sorry for Paul, Paul didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't sit on a pity pot somewhere and say, oh, woe is me. But Paul was offering hope and encouragement and edification to people who needed it. And don't we need to do that today? Look at what he went through and be reminded of how patient he was. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he details it all for us in verses 23 through 28. But his attitude toward Christ was one of a superlative nature. His expectation of having been patient, he knew that patience would have its reward. And so patience is a decision that we make. It begins with obedience, but it continues also with edification. And we are to be people that edify. In the book of Romans 8, verse 35 through 39, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Again, when Paul was going through all these trials, You might think that he would be, okay, church, pray for me. You know, I'm having to face all these real problems. But here he's writing to the Romans and he's reminding them, listen to what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Are any of these things going to separate us from the love of God? Paul says, no. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, or counted as sheep to the slaughter. But he says, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, whatever it happens to be, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. The example of Jesus Christ edifies us as well. We are to run, according to the Hebrew writer, that race with patience. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3, he says, we all have these great people around us. One translation says, and they are our examples. Their lives tell us what faith really means. So we too should run that race that is set before us and never quit. We should remove from our lives anything that would slow us down and the sin that so often makes us fail. We must never stop looking at Jesus. He is the leader of our faith and he is the one who makes our faith complete. He suffered death on a cross, but he accepted the shame of the cross as if it were nothing because of the joy he could see awaiting him. And now he is sitting at the right hand of God, at God's throne. And then he says, think about Jesus, our Lord. He patiently endured the angry insults that came from sinful people. And they were shouting at him, think about him so that you won't get discouraged and stop trying. Sometimes when we lose our patience, I'm going to tell you something. We want to quit. We do. I've seen preachers lose their patience over brethren and want to quit. Want to quit. I've seen leaders in the church quit and lose their patience. I've seen Christians who were faithful all of their lives and almost approaching those golden years of their life and leave the Lord in the church. It's a sad thing. We are to do what we can to edify and encourage and admonish one another. Again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:12, if there's anything that we ought to be seeking, listen to this, seek that you might excel to the edifying of the church. That's what we ought to be doing, because patience comes as a result of obedience and edification. And patience, last of all, finishes with trial. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you going through a trial? Are you? Anyone in here going through trials tonight? You don't have to raise your hands on that one either. But I suppose all of us do. And sometimes we don't know how to handle our trials that we're going through in life. There are many of them. It may be with your health, your body. You may have gone to the doctor, you may have gone to the hospital, doctor don't tell you anything. That's typical sometimes, isn't it? You're going to the hospital. Read a story the other day about a woman who called Mount Sinai Hospital and said, hello, I'd like to know if a certain patient is getting better. And the voice on the other end of the line said, well, what's the patient's name and the room number? And he said, well, Sarah Smith, and she's in room 302. Well, he said, oh, yes, Miss Smith is doing very well. In fact, she had two good meals today. Her blood pressure is fine, and she's going to be taken off the hot heart monitor in a couple of hours. And if she continues her improvement, Dr. Cohen is going to send her home on Tuesday. And the woman said, well, thank the Lord. That is so wonderful. Oh, that is so fantastic. That is wonderful news. And the man on the phone said, well, from your enthusiasm, I take it that you must be a close family member or a very close friend. And she said, oh, no. She said, I am Sarah Smith in 302. Dr. Cohen, my doctor, never tells me anything. Well, now you may be going through trials in life and you wonder why. Well, we all go through them. Christians are going to be persecuted. I don't care who you are. I don't know a Christian yet that hasn't been persecuted in some form or another. It is going to happen. Matter of fact, Paul even said that. He declared it to be so in the book of 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 when he said, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus, notice this, will suffer persecution. Persecution can come in forms maybe we've never even thought of. It takes trial to make a Christian perfect and complete in Christ. It does. For the trying of your faith brings patience, according to James chapter 1. Did you realize that we would not have Abraham tonight in the Bible? This Abraham that we read of, who's the father of the Israelite nation. He wouldn't be so outstanding tonight without God having said to him, get thee away from thy country and from thy kindred to a land that I will show thee. And if had Abraham staggered at that and not moved, I'm going to tell you something. We wouldn't have had the great Abraham that we have in the Bible. We wouldn't have the hope that we have tonight in Christ. Genesis 12 and verse 1. We wouldn't have had that hope had Abraham refused to take his son Isaac to Mount Moriah, according to Genesis 12 and Genesis chapter 22. There would be no Moses without standing before Pharaoh and the great trial that he underwent, or perhaps through the wilderness wanderings. There would have been no Joshua without the battles that he had to fight against the land of Canaan to lay hold on that land that flowed with milk and honey. There would have been no David without fighting that giant Goliath and the fights from Saul in 1 Samuel 17. There would have been no Daniel had he not resisted the king's wishes, and had he not been thrown into a den of lions, Daniel chapter 6. And there would have been no apostles without persecution, Acts chapter 16. And there would have been no Jesus even without the cross, Matthew 26 and 27. But I thank God tonight for all of those who have exhibited that kind of patience that leads us in the way that we should go as well. I'm confident tonight that God blesses us. And when we obey Him, patience comes. And when we offer edification to others, patience comes. And when we understand that the trials of life that we have to go through are common to all people, and Paul says that, there is no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to all men. And God will, with that trial, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes we think we can't and that we don't have patience enough to bear it, but you do. You know what? You do what you have to do. You muster up enough courage to do what you have to do. And you don't quit. That is the worst thing in the world to do. So hold on. You may be going through a problem, but let me tell you something tonight. Don't give up your patience. Hold on. Better days are yet to come. And we just have to trust God tonight. Maybe there's some pressing problem in your life for which you need to seek the Lord tonight. And you want the church to do it with you collectively. And sometimes there are those occasions when those things arise and we have to ask God to help us. And maybe receive the edification comes from brethren. Sometimes, you know, if brethren don't know that we have a trial or problem going on in our lives, it's very difficult for them to be praying about it. But tonight, if you have some special prayer request you'd like to bring before the Lord's church, or if you're not a Christian and you'd like to acknowledge your faith in Christ and become one tonight by faith and obedience and baptism, then it's something that we stand ready and willing to assist you with, and heaven waits tonight for your response. As God calls, let us stand and let us sing.